It's time for KPBS Midday Edition. 4 years ago, California made taking an ethnic studies course a requirement for high school graduation. But that effort faces new challenges as the state budget pauses its funding. I'm Andrew Bracken, in for Jade Heinemann, with conversations that keep you informed, inspired, and make you think. How a funding pause could impact the state's push for ethnic studies in high schools.
It's not going to go away in terms of the determination and the resistance of people to be fully represented and fully humanized in schools.
We learn more about the history of ethnic studies in California and what impact the funding change means for San Diego students. That's ahead on Midday Edition. First, the news. Four years ago, California passed a law requiring high schoolers to take an ethnic studies course before graduating. That law is called AB 101. But the state's latest budget does not include funding for ethnic studies. And that's left local districts across the state in limbo. Many ethnic studies courses were set to start this fall. So what does this all mean for ethnic studies going forward? My next guest works with school districts to implement ethnic studies curriculum. His name is James Fabionar. He's an associate professor and associate chair in the Department of Learning and Teaching at the University of San Diego. James, welcome to Midday Edition.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, you've testified before on this AB 101 law. Remind us what that law would have done, you know, with proper funding.
Yeah, that's a really good question in terms of what it would have done. I mean, the history of ethnic studies at the state level actually goes back about 20 years. The first time I testified before the state assembly was really in its infancy when legislators were first thinking about what it would look like to have an ethnic studies curriculum and requirement in secondary schools. And so here we are 20 some odd years later. We've seen progress, but not surprising. We're seeing pushback, we're seeing delays. And, you know, as is often the case, we see kind of this as an unfunded mandate. So really what we are looking at, I think, in terms of AB 101 and the spirit of AB 101, was that ethnic studies has really been kind of conceptualized as a policy remedy to systemic racism. I believe AB 101 was really about introducing ethnic studies at the high school level, not just waiting for folks to have access to ethnic studies once they get to higher education, but recognizing that ethnic studies is a really important shift to our public education system at the secondary level, and even before that. So AB 101, if funded properly, is intended to provide a course, a semester-long course requirement to all public secondary education schools, and as a way to diversify curriculum and instruction, as a way to give context to our understanding of race relations, power dynamics in society, and giving context to kind of the conditions that some of our most challenged populations live under in California and across the country.
So now that Governor Newsom is, you know, withholding this funding, what does that mean for local school districts who've been working on implementing this curriculum?
Yeah, I think what it really means is that school districts where there has already been a philosophical alignment and a strong political will and a degree of expertise in the field will continue on in their efforts because their efforts for ethnic studies precede AB 101. But AB 101, I think, provides a lot of legitimacy in letting folks know who are, you know, don't have a background and understanding of ethnic studies that this is the law of the land. And this is to be expected that we believe that for California to be a peaceful and equitable society, that we need to learn our way to being peaceful and equitable. And so I think what that means is that you're going to see some school districts that were already resistant and maybe have just kind of been implementing ethnic studies, you know, in a kind of in name only kind of way. They'll continue with kind of half-hearted efforts to implement, design and implement ethnic studies. And then you'll see on the other end of the spectrum, school districts where they really wholeheartedly believe that ethnic studies is important. And they'll continue to do the very best that they can, as they always have, with limited resources. So it's, you know, it's a shame because I think, you know, folks require the support, they require the resources in order for ethnic studies really to reach its full potential. Unfortunately for education scholars, especially those who are concerned about access, opportunity, equity, this isn't especially surprising. At every stage in our country's development around public education, our efforts to make them more equitable, more accessible, and more responsive to our linguistic and cultural diversity of our complicated racial past, you know, whether it's bilingual education, multicultural education, these kinds of backlashes happen, whether, you know, as overt kind of forms of pushback or as more systemic forms of pushback in the forms of policies or unfunded mandates.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this pushback there, and there has been a lot of controversy surrounding ethnic studies in high schools. A lot of that has to do maybe with how we define ethnic studies. How do you define that?
Yeah, I think that the real challenge, and just to give kind of context before I give a direct answer to that, is to understand the complexity of what ethnic studies is. Ethnic studies is a field of study that comes from the knowledge and wisdom from below, right? That is to say, people who have been marginalized in society and for whom our education systems, whether primary, secondary, and higher education, those systems weren't built for these folks, their wisdom traditions, their experiences, and our public education system wasn't built to be responsive to them. And so the origins of ethnic studies really comes from the knowledge and the wisdom of those communities that were fighting for access, that were fighting for acknowledgement, they're fighting for opportunities in higher education. So the field of ethnic studies was born out of higher education, and it's really diverse. When we talk about defining ethnic studies in secondary education, we're talking about trying to discipline a field. And I use discipline not only in the academic term, in terms of a tradition, but I also use it more in terms of the broader term discipline. When you discipline something, you constrain it, you boil it down, you give boundaries to it. And so when we're talking about defining ethnic studies in secondary schools, what we're really trying to do is discipline something that is really varied and really diverse and really responsive to communities of color that have been challenged for generations. And so I give that background in saying that my definition of ethnic studies really is about understanding the ethnic struggle, the racial and ethnic struggle of minoritized groups in the United States, particularly with the concept of understanding the nation's history of colonization, right, of enslavement, of displacement and exploitation.
Given that, what do you think teachers need to be prepared for to teach ethnic studies in these high school classrooms as opposed to, you know, the college level, for example?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. Since 2018, I have been part of a program evaluation study to support San Diego Unified School District's ethnic studies graduation requirements. And the goal of our work, our partnership, has been to try to learn alongside of each other, right? And to ask important questions and gather data and to develop analyses that can help the school district to develop its capacity to support its teachers. Some of the challenges that I see with the teachers are, is really trying to shoehorn ethnic studies into existing structures, whether they're at the curriculum level and the classroom level, or even at the academic programming level. And so I can give you some examples of that. So we're seeing really three different kinds of approaches to ethnic studies at the secondary level. The first is to infuse ethnic studies into existing curriculum frameworks, such as English language arts or history, social science, and specifically United States history. So that's one way is the infused route. The second route is as a standalone course, right? And then the third route is really to provide students opportunities at the community college or other outside sources where they can fulfill the requirement. What I'm seeing across the board is challenges for teachers to be able to make the space for ethnic studies to do the deep contextual work that it can do with young people. And especially for young people who need the context, who need to understand the challenges that their communities and their families face. It's very hard for teachers to do that in terms of the traditional teacher preparation programs structure. And as a teacher educator and as an educational researcher, I see this first and foremost in a variety of frameworks that really drive accreditation in teacher preparation, that drive state level policies. And so I really see a challenge in teachers being able to be trained to be community responsive in how they think about curriculum and instruction.
Yeah, so I'm hearing from you, you know, just like teachers need to kind of learn how to teach effective ways at reading or math, of course, a similar kind of like deep dive into how to engage students with ethnic studies curriculum is needed from your point of view.
Yeah, so that part of it is, yes, it's at the instructional or the pedagogical level. A lot of it also is in access to resources, curriculum resources, readings, oral histories, local groups and expertise, the input, mm-hmm. so to speak, of what happens in the class. It takes a really discerning teacher to know how to integrate different types of sources to make the information relevant, to make the information responsive. And that's a real challenge. That's a real challenge. At the school district and the school level, what this often means is the resources for professional development. Right. And so I see principals who are doing their level best, really, to provide substitute teachers so their teachers can get the professional development support that they need. I see school district officials who are bringing in experts as best they can. Getting professors to come out of the ivory tower into schools can be a really big challenge. So there's, you know, this kind of goes back to your earlier question around the governor, the lack of support, you know, and this is really where you see the challenges. And this is among schools and school districts that are already philosophically aligned and already really see the value of ethnic studies. There are a lot of teachers out there in school districts who also see the value, but they're not necessarily supported by their school leadership or their district leadership, unfortunately.
So, you know, you mentioned a multitude of challenges there. There's also the challenge of this political moment. How are national politics influencing tensions around ethnic studies in your view today?
Yeah, I think that they're exacerbating tensions that have always existed. I think it also underscores the importance of making sure that we are giving students or providing students with educations that are more well-rounded, that are richer, that are more robust and nuanced about these, the challenges of the day, right? So I see it on multiple levels. I do see that there are school leaders and district administrators who are having to respond to pressures. I will say, though, with AB 101, at least in terms of the school districts that I worked for, that has been one of the positive dimensions of it is that because it is a state policy, there's a legitimizing there, that there has been a calming in terms of some of the pushback. Because it is a superintendent or a school board member can say, hey, our state has voted representatives that believe that this is what's in the best interests of our state and our students. So while there has been pushback, and pushback is always to be expected when you're trying to give voice and representation to, historically marginalized groups, I think there have also been some bright spots here and there. I think in terms of the current political moment, you can see where California stands in contrast to much of the broader country in terms of its value, that we're facing a cultural backlash at this moment. And of course, that's really unnerving. And at the same time, you know, there are 20 some odd policies around the nation requiring ethnic studies in some form. And so California is not the only state where this is occurring. I will say, however, that with the secondary requirement, the requirement at the community college, the CSU, and the UC, it is poised to be the most comprehensive of them.
So, you know, given all that, what are your predictions for the future of ethnic studies in high school classrooms, you know, especially with this latest news about statewide funding?
Yeah, so I my mind goes to a couple different places with the question. I think, you know, to some degree, culture always trumps policy, right? And so when I think about where ethnic studies sits as, you know, representing the history, the traditions, and the wisdom from below, and people who are not going to go away, and people who are determined to maintain their identity and a sense of self-determination, it may go away as a policy mandate. It's not going to go away in terms of the determination and the resistance of people to be fully represented and fully humanized in schools, right? So in a very broader philosophical response to your question, I think that that's where ethnic studies will always sit. In terms of where it'll go in terms of funding, I think we're already seeing, you know, there was already a precarious degree of commitment from the governor, right? This was, if you'll recall, the AB 101 was twice vetoed. It wasn't until it was the political pressure from minoritized communities in response to the racial reckoning of 2020 that really mandated that he sign it. But I don't know that we've ever seen a full-throated support of it. And so, you know, we don't yet know kind of how our state is going to respond to the broader national moment and in terms of, you know, our own history of race in our states. But I think depending on what the upcoming elections look like, I think it'll have some serious implications. I do think that there's tremendous headway that's been made in terms of people can imagine, for instance, teaching credentials that have, you know, an ethnic studies focus on it. I think that there have been, you know, elaborate professional development programs and opportunities in ethnic studies. I think that potentially we'll see the floodgates open in terms of generationally younger people recognizing more and more that this is long overdue. It's long overdue.
I've been speaking with Professor James Fabianar. He's an associate professor and associate chair in the Department of Learning and Teaching at the University of San Diego. Professor, thank you so much for your insights today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Ahead on Midday Edition, we hear how San Diego Unified School District has approached bringing ethnic studies into San Diego classrooms.
Even with budget cuts, there is a way to do this, and it is so important for our students now more than ever that we have to find a way.
Midday Edition's back after the break.
Now on The Finest, we examine an icon. Our Lady of Guadalupe has been a powerful symbol for 500 years, and artists have reimagined her as a source of resilience and pride. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Andrew Bracken, in for Jade Hindman. This hour, we're talking about the state of the ethnic studies graduation mandate in California public high schools. Several years ago, the state required districts to make ethnic studies mandatory, but now they're pausing that funding, leaving many programs in limbo. But here in San Diego, many students are already taking ethnic studies courses. The San Diego Unified School District voted to mandate ethnic studies back in 2019. Joining me to talk about the status of the program is Wendy Rank Burr, PhD. She's Senior Executive Director of Equity, Access, and Opportunity with the San Diego Unified School District. Wendy, welcome to Midday Edition.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. So under AB 101, ethnic studies would have been a requirement for all districts beginning with the class of 2030, but you all were able to kind of do it a little bit earlier, starting that with the class of 2024. Why was that a priority for the district?
Well, ethnic studies has actually been a part of San Diego Unified School District for over a decade and actually goes back even further than that. If you look at some individual course offerings, we were offering courses for ethnic studies as early as 2000. They would have fallen under that definition of ethnic studies as we define it now. And we were focused on that work and wanting to make it a graduation requirement even before AB 101, because we believe representation matters. And the evidence for ethnic studies and its positive impacts on academics for all students is quite consistent and compelling. And so as a district, we decided to proceed forward because the state had been moving forward with the mandate for a graduation requirement, stepped back from it, moved forward. And finally, we just said we need to move forward with it, and the state will get there when they get there.
So, yeah, so not waiting for the state. San Diego Unified, you've been kind of pushing on this for several years now. Can you talk a little bit about what an ethnic studies class looks like? What does a curriculum cover? What would I study in a class like that?
So in San Diego Unified, when we talk about ethnic studies, it's both pedagogy and content. And so an ethnic studies class, and as allowed for by the state frameworks, which is what we operate under, you can have ethnic studies courses that are courses by themselves. And we do have a course like that, Introduction to Ethnic Studies. But we have more than 10 courses that have been authored by our staff in consultation with other organizations. And most of our courses embed ethnic studies content and principles into other subject areas, such as history, English, or the visual and performing arts. So those classes, if you were to go into those classes, you would see many of the same skills in any history or English class that wasn't an ethnic studies course, in that students are being asked to read complex texts, having discussions about complex ideas, and being able to write about those from their perspective with evidence from the work that they have completed in class.
So with this pause in funding in the latest proposed state budget, what impacts is that likely to have on San Diego Unified?
Well, I can't say that we weren't very disappointed that the state stepped back from the funding, because it is very much needed in terms of professional development. And that's a need all across the state. We connect with other educators with this work across the state. So I would be remiss to say that we weren't disappointed. However, how is it going to impact our ethnic studies program here in San Diego Unified? I think it's important to look at the reality of the situation. Ethnic studies has not been funded by the state other than a block grant that we received in 21-22. So all the work that we've done in ethnic studies up until that block grant was work that we were doing with funds already allocated to the district. So the budget impact has made us have to think about how we can deliver professional development differently. And that is definitely an area that we want to continue focusing on with our ethnic studies work moving forward.
And can you talk a little bit more about what that professional development would look like? What is San Diego Unified looking to do to push that ahead?
So we have offered micro-credentials, which are 15-hour courses of study focused on the pedagogy and the content for ethnic studies. And the other thing that we do that's very, very important is we have teachers who have expertise in ethnic studies, and they go out to classrooms and they teach side by side with teachers, because when you're trying to put together lessons using texts that offer multiple perspectives and getting students to engage in dialogue, having a second teacher in the room to help you when you're learning how to do that has been very successful and is supportive to our teachers. So we'll continue to do that. We just won't be able to scale it to the level we had hoped if there had been state funding.
So I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, this motivation for ethnic studies. And I think you touched on this earlier, but why is it important for students to, you know, see their identities and cultures reflected in the classes they take?
Well, we heard from our students, we have a variety of different mechanisms in our district to hear from students. And we heard from students over the course of the past decade since I've been involved in ethnic studies work that students aren't seeing themselves in their classroom materials. Some of our students who have taken English classes in our district have said they never read a book by an author of color. And so That was deeply troubling to us, because we are leaving out a whole collection of voices that have experiences that are unique and enrich our communities and enrich our classrooms. And we can only get better at relationships and working together when we understand one another's experiences. So, and again, the other reason that we really believe in our work in ethnic studies is the research that is proven over and over again that it improves engagement with school, improves grades, and increases awareness about diverse members of the community.
You know, I imagine one challenge of serving the students, you mentioned this, like really trying to reflect people's identities, you know, the students' identities in these courses. But CNU Unified is a large school district. I think it's the second largest in the state of California. So how do you balance that, you know, obviously having to serve such a wide variety of communities and schools, but also serving the individual needs of a particular community in a particular neighborhood school?
So that's a great question. And that's where the principles of ethnic studies come into play, because the principles of ethnic studies remain in place, and what can be modified and supported based on where the course is offered is the selections that are used within that course. So for example, if it's an English class with an ethnic studies focus, teachers have always had the flexibility to select different texts, and they can select texts that match the students that are in front of them, and also offering them some texts by other diverse groups that may not be in their classroom, so that they can also get a window into that world as well.
So the statewide ethnic studies mandate's been, you know, controversial from its inception. Many parents have spoken out against it, some of them in San Diego. How is the district responding to concerns around, you know, this curriculum?
So we do a lot of listening, and so we have different community groups that we listen to through regular meetings with those community members. We also have on our district website a way for community members to give us feedback and input. We do sometimes have some community groups that recommend curriculum or suggest curriculum, which it is ultimately the district's responsibility and the curriculum team's responsibility to review that. Because first and foremost, we are responsible for making sure that we're teaching to standards and that we are aligning to the state framework for ethnic studies.
So on the flip side of these concerns, you know, other academics argue that schools may be offering a watered down version of ethnic studies. What would you say to that argument?
I would I would always want to know what exactly are they talking about, because sometimes just saying it's a watered down version, a well-constructed ethnic studies class taught by a teacher who has proper training is absolutely not a watered down course. It is actually a very challenging course because students are being asked to take into consideration multiple perspectives, weigh that against their own thinking, and come up with new ideas and new perspectives, and also engage in discussions with their peers and defend their ideas. So that is by no means an easy task, and I would not say is watered down by any means.
Well, and another, you know, point you kind of made earlier is it sounds like a lot of this curriculum is integrated into different subject areas, right? I mean, how does that allow students and kids to kind of, I don't know, enter ethnic studies, but from a different perspective, perhaps?
Yes, it does. It does allow for that. And it is one of the reasons why we made the choice to approach our ethnic studies work here in San Diego Unified by embedding it into other courses. So for example, one of our courses, we have a U.S. history course with an ethnic studies focus, and we wrote that. That was one of our first courses that we wrote in collaboration with Facing History. And with that particular course, looking at just thinking of the different perspectives that you could bring to U.S. history events based on the different groups.
What would you like to see from other districts, you know, whether here locally in San Diego County or statewide, when it comes to ethnic studies? I mean, we're kind of well aware that there's a lot happening in this space, you know, at the university level on down. What would you like to see more of from other local school districts?
I would really like to see across the state that we had a network of ethnic studies educators who are supporting one another in this work. Ethnic studies began as a university level course, and we are bringing it into a K-12 environment, which I think is incredibly important. But in order to get the highest quality experience for our students out of that, we need people to come together who are doing this work and to share ideas, share best practices. Even with budget cuts, there is a way to do this. And it is so important for our students now more than ever that we have to find a way. We simply have to find a way. So I'd like to see other districts not back down just because they're not being funded. There are many things that aren't funded that are important for kids, and this is one of them.
You know, finally, what would you say to those who may be skeptical about ethnic studies at this K through 12 level, or who, you know, simply might like to learn more?
Well, if they want to learn more, we do have our ethnic studies website on our district webpage. They could learn more about what we're doing here. And I would also encourage them to do some learning about ethnic studies, talking to students. We do a student survey every year, and our results from 23-24, over 70% of our students agreed or strongly agreed that they learned about diverse people in their community, and that it positively impacted their commitment to learning and coming to school. So I would encourage people to learn more and engage, and we're always here to listen. That is what we do, because that's what's going to make us better and stronger.
I've been speaking with Wendy Rank Burr, PhD. She's Senior Executive Director of Equity, Access, and Opportunity with the San Diego Unified School District. Wendy, thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
That's our show for today. I'm Andrew Bracken. KPBS Midday Edition airs on KPBS FM weekdays at noon, again at 8 p.m. You can find past episodes at kpbs.org or wherever you listen. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.
Now on The Finest, we examine an icon. Our Lady of Guadalupe has been a powerful symbol for 500 years, and artists have reimagined her as a source of resilience and pride. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.